Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Coming up in just about 40 minutes, you'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Nationals take on the Diamondbacks for Star Wars Day. But joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is Mike Rizzo, President of Baseball Operations and General Manager of your Washington Nationals. In the clubhouse with Mike Rizzo is presented by Burke & Herbert Bank, Unexpectedly Different. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, Mike. You know,
doing well.
Notice how Valdez is working in the walk up songs, the Chicago songs. Yeah,
I really like.
He can't be concerned with that now, right in the middle of the season and smack dab in the middle of the Major League Baseball draft.
Hey, I was going to ask you before we get to the draft. Do you like 105 starts?
Yeah, I really do. I like day baseball. I guess it's my roots in Chicago where we had a lot of, you know, Wrigley. We had a lot of day games when I was a kid. Yeah, I really do like it. Plus, it's getaway day. We're going to San Diego, so it's a long trip, so it works out for us today. But I really do like day games.
Being a Chicago guy, did you ever go see the White Sox, or was it always the Cubs?
Well, I was a Cubs fan. You know, there's pretty you know, divisional sector there in town.
Yeah,
there's a distinct line, and not many people are, you know, how you hear sometimes. Yeah, well, I like both teams. Not much of that going on in Chicago for sure.
Right.
I grew up on Waveland Avenue, which is obviously left field of Wrigley Field, about 5 miles down the street. And my sister, my dad, and I, we went to the games a lot, took the bus. Sometimes we walked. It was great. But I did go to Sox Park every so often when we were kids, and I ended up working for them. It was my first scouting job with the White Sox. For 6 years, I was there with the White Sox as a scout.
You love Billy Williams. Hey,
I love Billy Williams, man. I could tell you that whole 69 lineup off the top of my head right now if you wanted.
All right, hold on. Let me get to the 69 season. Hold on, I'm going to get. Now I'm on, all right, go. Give me
Santo there.
You don't
have
to give me the scouting lineup. Just go position by
69.
Position.
69.
It was Santo at third, Kessinger, Beckert, Banks, Hundley was a catcher, Williams in left. I think Jimmy Qualls was in right in those days, and Adolfo Phillips was roaming around. He had Fergie on the mound, Bill Hands, Holtzman.
Don Young played center.
Okay.
Yeah,
Don Young.
And Jim Hickman played right. He played 134 games in right.
Yeah, okay. That was a great team.
Nicely
done. He hit him out of sight.
I've never heard any of those names before just right now.
Come on, Case.
You've heard of
Hundley. You've heard of Santo.
You've heard of Ernie Banks.
Okay, I've heard of Ernie Banks. Correct.
Santo, you've heard of Ron Santo. Come on, Cakes.
Kind of. Baseball Cakes is trying to track with all these names.
Hey, what time do the players get to the park for a 105 start?
Our guys right now?
Yeah.
I think 7 o'clock games. They're there at like 1 o'clock, so they're 6 hours before. I think Davey's got them on these getaway days. We don't take much out BP on the field, so. They're probably there they probably roll in about 9 o'clock or something like that for a 1 o'clock game. But usually they're there 5 or 6 hours before the game.
Gotcha. Give them a little leeway after a night game. And look, how great is it to finally get you on here, a little hot streak, 8 of 10. All of a sudden, Mike's a little smarter, Davey's a little smarter, right? And really all it took was the guys to start hitting, you know, when you got healthy, and the bullpen kind of pitching the way we thought they'd
Although,
pitch.
Last night, if I was a fly on the wall, you would have been very salty in the top of the first when Strassi gave up four. You were not happy.
I'll tell you what, you saw the maturation of Steven Strasburg there, evident last night, because that was something. That was a game that could have got away from us really, really quickly. You know, that fifth inning, Strass showed me what Strass is all about. You know, that was the game right there, in my opinion, the fifth. I think we're down 5-2, second and third, nobody out. They scored two or three runs there. It's really, really difficult to come back. But, you know, Strass was magical in that inning. And, you know, on a day that he scuffled, you know, he's picked us up. Stars have picked us up and carried us so much over our last, you know, 5 or 6 years, that it's good when they stumble out of the gates a little bit, that the offense could come back and get Strauss his 100th win. And what a remarkable night and achievement that is, 100 wins with the Nats. And you know, I like to say that, you know, he's a, you know, he's a national for a reason, and we, you know, we love having him here. And, you know, the fact that he signed a long-term deal was, you know, really special to all of us in ownership and in the front office.
Now, it seemed like for the first 40, 50 games or so, I mean, whatever could go wrong was going wrong, right? You had guys getting hurt. You had, you know, the bullpen, we all know, was struggling. And then you had, you know, like errors everywhere, just kind of silly stuff happening. Over these last 10 games or so, where you've won 8 of 10, okay, it hadn't been necessarily against the division leaders, but, you know, these are solid teams you guys are beating. What's been going right?
Well, I think that, you know, I think we're playing better baseball. You know, it's when you look at the front portion of our season, you know, we had a rash of injuries. We had a group of injuries. You know, whenever you lose your core group, 2, 3, 4, 5 hitters, your best 2 bench guys, you know, 2 or 3 relievers that you're counting on, you know, 2 starters at one time, it just throws everything out of whack. And our first part of this season, our first third or so of the season, our schedule was murder. You know, we went on that road trip that the Phillies are on right now, and the Mets just came back from, and it was rough, undermanned, and playing a lot of role players and bench players and you know, AAA players that we had out. I remember a lineup in Milwaukee. We had you know, Sanchez at third. We had Noel at first, and you know, we were running out there guys that, you know, the general public didn't even know about. And but we grinded through, we persevered, and you know, got ourselves a little bit healthier. And you know, the one constant between all this was, you know, our rotation. You know, they give us a chance to win each and every day, and you know, I think our bullpen is you know, starting to pitch and feel a little bit more comfortable and pitch a little bit like we expected them to pitch. And you know, they've you know, our starters have been asked and taxed, asked to go the extra mile. They have, and you know, it's good to see the other portions of the roster pick them up when they have to, like last night.
And now suddenly, okay, 6.5 back's not ideal, but it doesn't seem as overwhelming. You got 102 games to make up 6.5. That, my friend, is certainly doable.
Well, I just like the fact that we're playing good baseball, solid baseball. And that's, I mean, we can only worry about us. You know, we need to, you know, we're going to take it game by game, you know, blah, 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 inning by inning. And that's right. Really the only way you can take it. And,
right.
You know, we've got a White Sox team that's, you know, that's rebuilding, up and coming. And, you know, they're hungry to play and to win. And we need to beat them and then go on the road and play the Padres and the White Sox in Chicago and see if we can come through that road trip. We've been playing well on the road. We, you know, we had that nice road trip in Atlanta and Cincinnati, and you know, we need to just kind of continue the momentum you know, through today's game and get on the plane and you know, try and play good baseball on the road.
Did that umpire have to leave the game last night after he got hit?
Yeah, he did. He did. I don't know what his current status was,
wow.
But he did leave. He got a fastball right on the breastbone,
right in the gut.
And
yeah.
You know, right in the gut. And they, you know, they had the chest protectors, but man, you know,
it's 95
is 95. It's like a like taking a bullet.
I mean, the catcher catcher completely missed it. McCann completely missed it.
Yeah, I don't know if he got. Yeah, I think he probably got crossed up or whatever.
Must have,
but yeah, it whatever way it was, he took a direct hit and. You know, those guys, you know, we worry about players and catchers. You know, these guys, you know, these umpires, they have no home games. They, you know, they have no home crowds or anything like that. We, on the road, we try and take care of them. Obviously, our medical staff is at their beck and call, and our training staff. And, you know, we take good care of those guys because they got a rough job, man.
So Dozier also got hit last night. He got hit right in the forearm, man. It looked like it stung, boy. He stayed in the game to run, but then Davey pulled him. And Kendrick came in, played, and then hit the bomb. Kendrick's been huge for you guys. But where does Dozier stand? Hopefully he doesn't have to hit the injury list.
As of last night, when we looked at him and I talked to him, it doesn't look like it. But we'll know more today. The X-rays were negative, which is a good thing. But he had a pretty good welt on it, and we'll see if he's able today, and either as a starter or off the bench. And Howie was, he's been spectacular for us this year, and not only on the field, but in his leadership role in that clubhouse has been something that nobody speaks of, but we appreciate greatly in management.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this is the week of the draft. We've talked to you about it last week and years past. This is one of the highlights for you, right? This is a big deal. Before we get to who you selected, right, the junior college player, is it Jackson Rutledge? Is that the guy's name? Mm-hmm. Well, it's got a great name. That's an MLB name if I've ever heard one.
6'8", 250 or 260, big dude.
Before we get into him, though, will you tell us now in hindsight, give our listeners a little insight, because it's interesting. This wasn't a year where, like, guaranteed Strauss go number one, guaranteed Bryce go number one, right? Anybody could have gone number one. Can you tell us who you guys had overall 1-1 on your board?
Yeah, we had the Oregon State catcher number one, like most teams did. If we were in that position, we would probably have had a spirited discussion about the Oregon State catcher and the high school shortstop Witt, and it would have been a fun conversation. But depending on where you're at, where your team's at, would kind of depend on what player you take there. But those are two players that kind of separated themselves from the rest of the board, in our opinion. But it was a good deep draft up there at the top of the draft, and we were really happy that Rutledge got down to us. We had him a little bit higher on the board than 17, but we really impressed us this year. We scouted him a lot. Big physical pitcher, 20 years old, that's got a really good package to be a good major league starting pitcher.
So take us inside the war room. I think you've talked about your scouting department ad nauseum. You say that you really lean on them. And I think Chris Klein is your assistant GM, but he also, I think, he runs the scouting department. I don't know exactly his title. You could give me mm-hmm. more. But when you're in the war room and you guys are up, do you let Chris? Is Chris Klein making the pick, or are you making the final call based on information he's given you?
Well, we make the final pick as a unit, but he's got the say so in the room. It's his draft. He and his staff see all the players. With my experience, this is my 33rd draft that I've been involved in. So we lean on each other for advice and for discussion and that. But when we leave that room, when the board is put together, it's a consensus in that room, and it's but Chris runs the draft. He makes the picks, and it's because he's the guy. He and his staff are the guys seeing the players day in and day out for mm-hmm. 6 months. They know these guys inside and out, and they're the ones that pull the trigger on the picks.
At what point? I got a couple questions for you, Mike. But at what point do you start honing in on Rutledge? Like the 14th pick, 5th, like when do you start to say, okay, if he's there, we're taking him?
No, we know that from the opening bell. That
oh, you already knew that
who we're going to take, and the question isn't who we're going to take, is who gets down to us, because we put that board together. We've got 800 magnets on the board, and in that first round we've got our 17. We picked 17th in the first round, so we've got our 17 magnets in order. In a preferential order, the way we like them, we would have been satisfied with that 17th magnet and the 17th name on that board. But fortunately, we got a guy that we had higher than that, and really thought highly of this player, and was one of the coveted pitchers that we had on the board.
Barry Zaluga wrote an article in the Post about the draft and the Nats' recent draft history. And without getting too much into it, one thing that jumped out at me, Mike, was he said, so there are 40 rounds in the draft, and I'll just take what he wrote as a given. He said it's generally considered if you get three major leaguers from that out of 40, it's considered average. If you get 6, that's like phenomenal. That just shows you how difficult it is to get to the big leagues. And, I mean, right? I mean, You're sitting there grinding this. You got a staff grinding this all year round, and you, on average, might get three out of these 40 that ultimately make it. Are those accurate stats? That's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, I think that those are you know, fairly accurate stats. I don't know what the updated numbers are. Every team drafts 40 rounds, 40 players. Some you may have an extra pick here or there, but you look at the drafts. You draft 40 of them. You probably sign 22, 23 of those 40, and the rest of them kind of go back to college or they're high school kids that go to college and that type of thing. So out of the 22 players that are signed, 25 players are assigned each year. If you get three big leaguers that can help your team, you know, you're doing a good job. If you get more than that, that's outstanding. And what I disagree with Barry's article and I thought was kind of short-sighted of his is that the major league draft is for one of two things. You're drafting major league players for that player to help you at the big league level, or to trade that player to get you players that help you at the big league level.
Right.
And there were so many players that we have drafted and may not have made it to the big leagues yet, but we're traded away to get us players that help us win four divisions out of the last 7 years, to win more games than any other team in baseball except for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and to put this team in the upper echelons of all Major League Baseball. So, you know, you could say that Alex Meyer, for example, was not a good draft choice, but Alex Meyer got us Denard Span for 3 years with a 12 WAR, wins above a replacement. So when you look at it in that context,
right,
we've done as well or better than any other scouting staff in the game.
So when you say that these guys like Klein and these scouts, they see the players. Did you ever see Jackson Rutledge play or just on video?
Just on video.
Okay.
I saw him just on video. We dived in hard on the videos and I see countless amounts of video and games on video and about all the players that were taken. But these guys are out there beating the bushes every day. They're at the games, and we had seen Rutledge pitch probably 11 or 12 times since this last fall baseball. So we're well acquainted with him, and he's a guy that held his stuff and his velocity and his delivery and his success throughout each and every year. And like I said, this kid is just starting to scratch the surface as a 20-year-old that's got really good stuff and a great makeup.
Mike, we know that Norm B. from Fairfax is banking on the cycle today with Burke and Herbert Bank. Norm's already taking home a $100 gift card, but if any Washington baseball player hits for the cycle during today's game, he'll also take home $100,000 courtesy of Burke and Herbert Bank. Enter for your chance to bank on the cycle during the next Wednesday game. Details at thefandc.com/contest. Keep up the heater, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Right, get in that war room, Mike. Come on.
That's right.
Shouldn't be talking to us.
Draft starts at 12, man. I took out 15 or 20 minutes to talk to my boys at the Junkies, but we're back at it right now.
All right. That's awesome. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it, pal.
All right, guys. Thanks. See you next week.
Yep. All right, pal.
It's a busy day for one Mike Rizzo.
That's
got to
be so fun.
Staff. Absolutely.
That's got to be so fun.
When we come back, EB's been threatening it. It's finally here.
Here it is.
He's going to do the EP next here on The Fan.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. We're the Junks live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Jason?
And the Junks are presented to you by our good friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks, home of the five-star technician. Not four, five stars. Check them out at CropMetcalf.com.
Coming up in just about 20 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to Star Wars Day at Nats Park. We'll do a Junkies trivia question if you are the 10th caller with the correct answer. When we tell you to call, which is not right now, which is a bit later, you'll win the prize. So keep listening.
All right, boys. I promise you, I'm not gonna disappoint you.
You're gonna deliver. You're gonna deliver the goods.
I'm gonna deliver the goods, Cakes. Now, despite the vehement arguments here on the show between our Matt Valdez and our friend Neil Greenberg, mm-hmm. I heard later on
this is Matt Valdez,
Grant and Danny's show. They were debating the merits of whether or not it was relevant that they leaked the fact that James Holzhauer's run was coming to an end.
Right.
On Monday, Jeopardy attracted their biggest overnight ratings during the run. They got a 10.1 overnight rating, Cakes.
Good for ratings.
To put it in comparison, Game 2 of the NBA Finals got a 10.2.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
Think
pretty
about
impressive.
That is incredible. So despite this notion that if you spoil it, no one's going to want to watch it, more people watched it than had watched any of the previous 30
episodes. What was the highest rating that the guy?
I don't know the answer to that. Now, I'm not surprised by that, by the way, because people want to see it end.
I will be honest, there was a little bit of a letdown yesterday when I tuned in, and it was Emma Betcher.
Did Emma Betcher win?
She won.
Yes.
But
my girl.
She had built up a big enough lead where she didn't have to risk anything on Final Jeopardy. I'm sorry. She's a dud. She missed Final Jeopardy. Risked no money. There's no more excitement.
What would James do in that situation if he couldn't lose?
He would wager the maximum amount
big,
to make possible
sure, to make
without
sure that he
losing.
Couldn't. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he wouldn't just blindly bet big.
But if he had, say, he had 35K, and the next highest person had 10.
Yeah.
His Final Jeopardy wager is going to be
15K or whatever.
At least 15 to 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he 14, always had
9,
weird
9,
numbers.
9, 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was a sizable amount.
Right.
Like, he wasn't betting at 500 or 1,000. He's betting big.
Is right. Emma Betcher cute in a kind of an innocent kind of way?
No.
I think she's kind of cute.
You think she has potential?
Remember that.
You're into a librarian.
Why? Because she's not cute. And she might go on a huge run, and I want people to remember that he thinks she's cute.
I'm just saying. I'm in an innocent kind of a way.
I will defend you in that.
Courtney Love, Emma Betcher.
No. Again, he did not.
You got some weird things.
He did not make a definitive statement. He posed it as a question.
Yeah,
he's just throwing it out there.
I think she said kind of cute. I said that.
You being serious right now?
I don't know.
Yeah,
okay. Gotta remember, I'm hopped up on meds.
I think
too.
He's semi-serious.
What meds are you taking? I thought all your tramadol was
muscle,
gone.
Muscle relaxers.
I know. What is it? Like over the counter?
Well, you
muscle
need crazy
relaxers?
Pills.
No. Definitely not over the counter.
Who's giving him to you?
I got a source.
I mean, honestly, keep the picture up, NBC Sports Washington.
Look.
From far away, without my glasses, she looks like TJ Oshie with his hair messed up.
She looks like Oshie.
I like Oshie. I think he's kind of cute.
She's got a 77 jersey on.
Jason thinks she's cute.
Listen, it is what it is. We're not all tens.
Yeah, everybody has different tastes.
That's a bad picture.
She's obviously
that's
a smart woman. Yes,
that's
a
bad
not a great picture. I'm sure
not
she.
Good picture.
You know what? I take it back. I'm sure she is cute.
She's got bigger bags than Cakes. Dude,
you know why? Because she's looking up that Dewey Decimal System, Valdez.
I'll tell you what. You know what? Give her some money. If she goes on a run, she could, like, Jeff Bezos' wife. Look at old pictures. I'll give you two examples. Look at old pictures of, I don't even know how you say the guy's name anymore. Jeff
Bezos.
Jeff Bezos.
But we've co-opted it to Bezos.
Right. Jeff Bezos' wife from, like, when he first started dating her until, like, when they got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, all that money and everything, she got hot.
Yeah.
Same thing, I think. I could be wrong unless I saw an amazing picture. Zuckerberg's wife. When they was first dating her and got married, she looked kind of grumpy and arty.
And, now she's
and
cute.
I saw a picture of her recently. She looks silly. Money hooks you.
She probably has a live-in cook, a nutritionist.
Yeah.
Some, like, personal trainer at beck and call.
Yeah.
You're probably getting
Emma
Botox
Give
and
Emma
all the
Betcher
right
all those people.
Yeah. Emma Betcher. I bet you in 10 years she's going to be silly. It's possible.
Emma was Rick yesterday.
Why?
She got the Daily Double.
Uh-huh.
She bet all her money, and Trebek goes, ooh, pulling the James, are we?
Oh, look at that.
Now she's being compared to James.
She gave him the biggest eye roll.
Oh, she did.
Oh, can I see it?
If he set the standard and she's stealing his gameplay, did he not set the standard?
Well, people are saying, come on, it's not like people never did a true Daily Double before.
And then she, she is just graduated with like a master's, uh-huh. and her thesis was on Jeopardy.
Right. I understand.
Right. We
so she might. So she might kind of have the same theories as James.
But she's obviously into what is it? GTO, you know, Optimum Game Theory, whatever that is.
Okay.
She's obviously into all that stuff. But if James is the guy, then he gets credit.
People are calling in saying or texting Emma's hired.
You just got to be careful.
She's not gorgeous. I just said kind of cute. I said kind of cute. You know how many, you know how many girls are kind of cute?
Yeah. Whatever like, floats your boat.
In like an innocent sort of way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm kind of white trash.
You kind of are. You spend too much time at a golf course to be fully white trash.
You act like there are a bunch of white trashers at a golf course.
Okay, but he's at a private club.
That's true. That's a good point.
Right. Are you still there, or are you persona non grata?
I started back up. Actually, I played there yesterday.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah. Good for you.
Are you getting some good tips? You finding some clubs lying around the course? Pullovers that people have forgotten?
I return all that stuff, Cakes.
Yeah, that's true.
I would.
Of course you do.
Put it right
Sorry,
in my bag.
I forgot.
The course was pimping today, or yesterday.
Did you guys see the Tracy Morgan news? This
I did,
dude
yes.
got so much money from Walmart.
Did he get $90 million? Wasn't that the number we heard?
Was that a settlement
for around $90 million.
Well, it's enough that he felt comfortable going in and buying a $2 million Bugatti. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So he bought it in New York City, and he's got a rack of cars already.
Yeah.
And just decided he wanted to buy a $2 million one.
When I get smashed into by a Walmart truck for $90 million, now I'd be banged
well,
up.
He lost his friend.
He went into a coma.
His buddy
in
died.
A coma. You're not going to do it. I'm just not going to do that. You would dunk off Rom if you were at an appearance.
Comedian in a coma.
You would dunk off Rom for $90 million. If we were, say, we rented a, or we just went an Uber.
How about
Rom? We were giving him a free ride. Mm-hmm. He was going to an appearance with us.
Okay, yeah.
But someone could make a deal with you and say, for $90 million, I'm going to put you in a coma for a month, and we're going to kill that dude.
Uh huh.
Would you do the deal?
Well, I think I'm doing the world a favor by eliminating Rom, right? I think I'm doing the world a solid.
I'm asking you a serious question.
Yeah,
would
but then
you sacrifice
Rom. See, if Rom stays on his current path, he's not going
to
live that much longer anyway.
You're trying to justify it.
I would consider it. I would seriously consider it.
Of course you would.
Well, what about...
I would go beyond considering it. Because I'm not a monster. I don't think I am. But again, I would be doing the world a solid
put it this way.
By
ask
getting
your
rid of Rom.
Ask your question. Ask yourself a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is your life better with $90 million? Or better with Rom in the world.
Better with 90
or,
million.
Well,
better with 90 million.
Well, then there's no, you don't have to consider anything.
Is your
just
life better with him or without him? It's a double whammy.
Clearly better without him.
It's a grand slam.
Yes. No more texts. No more dumb texts.
No more weird pictures on my phone from Rom.
Well, what about
no more asking me how many times. I swear to God, he asked me 50 times one time. You going to Vegas? You going to Vegas? You going to Vegas?
Right.
Like, dude, I can't schedule a Vegas trip right now.
Right.
Well, what about if it's just like a head-on collision into like a wall? You know, like a safety test?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Cakes is the dummy. And at the end of it, it's $90 million.
Yeah. But is he guaranteed? Like, he has to be in a coma for 45 days.
Well, it's just it's whatever happens.
Oh, no, you
DJ
can't
in a coma?
You can't do that. You can't actually risk dying.
DJ in a coma. Well,
the crash test dummies get pummeled sometimes.
They get crushed.
Well, he can wear like a Hans device.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee I come out silly like I am now.
Yeah, right. You got to guarantee the safety.
I need to be guaranteed silly on the other
end. I'd do almost anything on the planet for 90 minutes.
I believe that.
Yes.
I know that.
Sorry, I bum rushed the story.
No,
I would
the
do
point
many,
is...
many sexual things for 90 million.
I'm sure you would.
I don't think and there's
not
a single...
Not necessarily with women, either.
Oh, I know that's true.
Yes.
Hey, listen. So Tracy just bought a $2 million Bugatti.
Right.
He pulls out of the parking lot. 15 minutes later, he got hit by a chick in a Honda CRV.
By the way, they're definitely class shaming her because I believe the headline, or at least the first line, is that Tracy Morgan's $2 million car got smashed into by a cheap Honda. Right. They're just class shaming that poor woman.
I mean, that's what's on the road.
Well, whose fault was it? Was it hers?
She claims it was him. They were both turning right. And I saw an overhead picture. It looks like they both were turning right. You got to imagine Tracy's going to drive carefully in that thing. So I'm going to assume it was her fault. I can't imagine. He's 15 minutes into driving his two. If you're driving a $2 million car.
He had a lot of injuries.
Okay, so
probably
maybe
a major concussion.
So maybe he's not thinking.
He's in concussion protocol for the rest of his life.
He got out of the car and goes up to the passenger window.
I heard he was banging on it.
Yeah,
right?
Takes his fists and then starts banging on it. So funny.
Right, $2 million. Imagine you get insurance on a $2 million car.
Oh, I could not imagine what that costs. My insurance is expensive enough as it is.
Right,
and I don't have a $2 million car.
Imagine calling the dealership and telling them you just wrecked the Bugatti.
That wouldn't go over very well.
But isn't he an idiot for taking that thing out in the streets of Manhattan?
I would think.
What is he doing?
I don't know.
Nobody showing drives off. In New
What's
York anyway.
Buddy,
what is he doing?
Anyway.
He's showing off. He's flexing.
So we'll take that to the Hamptons.
So I live in a nice neighborhood, right? But it's not a ridiculous neighborhood. It's a nice neighborhood. It's not like a fancy neighborhood. I'm driving through it yesterday, and there's a Rolls Royce in the driveway.
Really? Look at
like,
you.
What is going on here? Not in my driveway, but in one of my neighbors'
That's very
driveway.
Highfalutin, a Rolls Royce.
I got to imagine it was like a guest, a visitor or something.
I don't know.
Well, have you never seen it there before?
I mean, it was a side street that I don't go on all the time, but I would have noticed it. Maybe I mean, a Rolls Royce is one of those cars where you just notice it immediately. Like, I'm driving. I'm not looking at people's cars.
It jumps out at you.
It just jumped. I was like, oh, my God. Look, that's a Rolls Royce.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Maybe you just sold a company.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you live next to, like, a tech billionaire. you don't even know it.
I don't think so.
I want to start a company and then sell it. That's what I want to do.
Yeah, what would your company
be? About $10 million.
What would it entail?
I don't know. Jason? I just want to start it and sell it for $10 million. I'm good.
I think that's a great plan.
Let me ask you a question. If you're single, all right, and you're back in your 30s and you still have testosterone running through your body.
So I'm single and in my 30s.
All right, say you're in Dewey. Okay. You're in Dewey.
I like it already. It's Monty.
You're at the Starboard.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a chick. She's an attractive girl. There's no question about it.
Hotter than Emma Betcher.
Oh, yeah. An attractive girl. And she's doing shots. She's drinking alone. Nobody's really hollering at her. And then you find out the whispers. That's Casey Anthony.
The woman killed
her own.
I know the answer to this,
baby.
I think.
Okay. Right?
He's full throttle.
But she's over there and she's kind of flirting with the bartender
a little bit. She's a super freak.
People don't really know who she is, but you found out some people are whispering that's actually Casey Anthony.
Would I go
she's
up
at
to and holler at her?
Would you smash?
100%.
Probably, yeah.
100%.
Why wouldn't you?
She killed her child.
I know, but she's still kind of hot. Let me see the picture of her. Is there a picture of her?
Yeah. Apparently, they're making a movie about her life.
Oh, who would play her?
Well, that's a good question.
Who would play
her? She claims that the movie is going to exonerate her.
I'm sure it's going to exonerate her.
Hold on. We'll try
to come up with a comp for her, but when we come back,
she likes to get after
we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to Star Wars Day at Nats Park. We will give a Junkies trivia question when we come back here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Three, two, one. Here's the hook.
I'm bruised and broken from our head-on collision.
There you have it.
All right,
you can be the next Jordan Pundick. That's the lead singer of Newfound Glory.
I played basketball with that dude.
We all did, yes.
Yeah, we did.
Without shoes on at the Wizards practice facility way back in the day.
That was 15 years ago.
It was a long time ago.
You know what?
Radio Insider.
16 years ago.
Yes, it was.
Ish.
They're still together, still touring, still cranking out hits. By the way, you can call in at 800-636-1067 right now. We're going to do a Junkies trivia question. If you are the 10th caller with the correct answer, you win a great prize. You get a pair of tickets to see your Nats use the Force against Arizona for Star Wars Day at Nats Park on June 15th. Be one of the first 10,000 fans into the stadium. You get an Obi-Sean Kenobi bobblehead featuring Sean Doolittle, courtesy of the Washington Nationals. Here is your Junkies trivia question du jour. Jason Bishop is dealing with pain in a certain part of his body. Just tell us which body part is affected, and you win the tickets to see the Nats take on the D-backs.
Hey, Drabby, why are they still showing the Wawrinka-Federer match from yesterday? Is there a rain issue today? Is there a delay?
I'm not sure what matches would be on.
Looks like it's supposed to start at 10 a.m.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Why is the picture all choppy and like staticky?
It's because that TV came out in 2001.
It's not the TV, it's the connection.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, I mean, the TV, I'm sure, can give you a good picture. The cable in there is nubs.
Oh, yeah. But it, all the way around, it's just a bad product.
I mean, I love the studio, but we got to be the only guys that don't have high def TV. Like, we got these nice TVs, and I don't think that one may be high def, it may not. We get, like, low def in here.
Mm-hmm.
So how weird. Have we not cut the cord in here? Like, how are we not streaming the TV signal? What are we doing with our lives?
Well, to cut the cord, it still takes cost, right? You got to buy your YouTube TV or whatever your other options are.
Yep.
So you're cutting the cord, but you still, it's not totally, unless you went all antenna. If you go all antenna, you're not getting the French Open.
Right.
No chance you're getting that. Zippy.
You would use a silly Xfinity.
Yeah, you're not getting tennis
the Xfinity
channel.
Connection.
Right. That's why I'm a huge Xfinity guy, my friend.
That's what I meant to say.
Valdez, you're not getting Tennis Channel.
What?
With the antenna.
Jason, I have every single channel that has ever been created.
You just steal everything, though. I know, steal.
Legal.
Or you're just a thief.
I have like 10 tennis channels. I can watch the fourth court right. At Roland Garros or wherever it's called.
You're right. You nailed it. Let's go to Steven. Online four, see if he has the correct answer for the Junks trivia question. Hello, Steven.
Steven?
The answer is his hurting neck.
You are 1,000% correct.
Your neck is hurting.
You're a good listener. You're getting rewarded with Star Wars Day tickets to see the Nats take on the D-backs. Thank you, good listener.
Thanks.
Enjoy the game.
I love you guys.
Thank you.
Love you, man. Thank you, buddy. Really appreciate it. So I was just texting my wife. I said, you know what? I'm going to talk to a buddy of mine, and I'm going to talk about how we should maybe finance, because I'm still thinking about doing this whole deck thing. Mm-hmm. I haven't done anything in my house in 15 years.
Yeah.
I think it's about time. Right? Let's upgrade the deck. And then I said, we'll re-landscape the backyard. We'll tighten that up. It's about time.
Sure.
Right? We should do something. And then she said,
is she against this expense of
no,
it?
No, not at all. And she goes, well, it's more than that. We got to update all the siding.
Oh.
Now she wants to do all siding all over the house.
Yes. Yep.
And we got to fix the front porch, too, because there is an issue where there's something with the porch.
What's the porch issue?
The porch is, it's just concrete slab porches, yeah. Whatever. But and then above it, there's some trim around it, and there's been some water damage. And the trim is you could see, like, soggy in certain areas if you really look closely.
Sure.
So that needs to all be redone.
Yeah.
And then, like concrete steps, there could be little cracks that can happen as your house settles.
Yeah, of course.
Right? So that needs to be tightened up a little bit. I mean, now it's a whole new thing. I think I'm just going to sell the house.
There you go.
Let's just get out. I'm going to call Debbie and Sarah Reynolds.
Yeah, get the Reynolds group
and
on.
And we're just going to go find a new house.
You won't do the mob bit where you go in and just burn your own house down for the insurance money. That's what you should do.
Right.
It's probably what you should do.
Mm. I will say this. I woke up this morning, and there was the door. I told Cakes this. The door to my van was open.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's 4:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
The door in the van is
wide open.
Wide open. And I figured immediately it was my son. God bless him, because sometimes he'll forget to close the garage door, that kind of thing. So I texted my wife, and I go, did Stevie forget to close the van door? And she goes, no. He was in the front seat. People have come by in my neighborhood before, and I think it's been happening, I think, for years. And if you don't lock your doors, it was one of those rare instances where they forgot to lock the doors last night.
Right.
They'll just check doors. And if it's open, they like to rummage through your car and see if there's anything
in
there.
That's hurting.
That is hurting.
That is not a good sign.
I don't like that thought.
Well, how could you like it?
But that's happening while we're sleeping.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Bandits.
Was there anything in there that could take?
I looked in there. I mean, no, we don't carry anything. We don't keep anything in our cars. I mean, right. We don't have like pillows. Or like maybe a
so you've
loose
got bandits
nickel.
Running around your neighborhood checking for cars.
I'd probably
checking
doing it all over. See, I'm so everybody's worried. All over everybody's.
I would be worried that somebody had slunk into my car and then is going to like attack me when I'm halfway to work.
Well,
just lying down in the back
seat.
If
they had done that, they wouldn't leave the back door open.
Probably not.
Open.
Yeah. You wouldn't think.
Yeah. No, I turned the light on before I left and I checked to make sure that there wasn't like some homeless dude sleeping in there.
Sure.
Yeah. No. But it makes me think I'm going to get some of those lights that are motion, detectors. Mm-hmm. So if anybody's around my...
Just add it to the list.
I'm going to add that to the
just
list.
Just add that to your long list.
So if you walk around on my driveway or anything or on my street, and boom, you're going to get the spotlight.
Very good.
100%. You're gonna pull so much cash out of that that refi you're going to do.
I might have to do a refi. I don't know. I got to talk
to... Do the refi and just pull like 100K out.
I got to talk to a finance guy and see if that's a smart thing or if I should just take it out of savings.
You know where you could get some cash?
Yeah.
You could come to the Cakes Classic tonight at MGM National Harbor.
Hit big, right?
And just get some cash.
Could do that.
Just try to steal my $300 bounty.
Dude, we saw there was a high hand jackpot that hit on one of the table games for almost a milli last night.
That is ridiculous.
At MGM. We're trying to figure out what game it was. We saw a picture. It might be like the, what do they call that case?
That is crazy.
Like the no limit table hold'em game.
Yes. Those are five cards laid out, right. And it was some sort of straight flush.
Like a royal flush hit.
Yeah, and one in a billion shot.
Wow.
And somebody, I think, took home $947,000.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
That's quite a score.
Can you imagine?
I mean, imagine the luck of that person.
And it's probably some D-gen. That's a game you can't beat.
What if it was Rom? What if it was Rom? Could you imagine how insufferable he would be if
you'd
he
already had 15 naked pictures already?
Yeah, it's true. It's impossible.
And he would dump it into ICPT and lose
right.
it all.
It would, the money would already be gone.
He'd barely pay off his debt.
He'd already leverage. Be day trading it away. Yeah.
Someone texted in, Kate Beckinsale would be a good Casey Anthony. I would say maybe 15 years ago.
She's a little too hot for Casey Anthony.
Well, she's definitely hot, but she's too old.
Yeah.
She's got to be in her late 40s, if not
she
early
is.
50s.
Probably.
She gets ice for the young guys, too. So,
yeah, Pete Davidson from SNL.
She set her up with A-Wide.
He wouldn't know what to do with her.
Adam could handle her?
No.
Absolutely not.
He couldn't handle Casey Betcher, or whatever her name is.
Emma Betcher?
Emma Betcher.
Yeah, Emma Betcher.
Your new secret crush.
Love her.
On Jeopardy.
Oh, we should do that. We should try to set up Adam.
All right, we
got to
get out of here.
Champ.
We are done for the day. Coming up next, it's Grant and Danny, I believe, live from Nats Park.
They
because
are.
It's an early game. We got to get out of here. We're done.
Boom.
See you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.